This afternoon I'll be reading from John chapter 2 and verses 1 to verse 12. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there. And this is what the Word of God says. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." Now there were 6 water pots of stone there, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill up the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Almost 13 years ago, my wife Wendy and I sat down and decided who we were going to invite to our wedding. And I see Jeff smiling. You've been here before, haven't you? It's not an easy thing. And for those of you who have had to do it, you know it's not an easy thing. There are so many people that you want to invite. You know, who do you invite? You don't want to leave people out. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. Well, we sat down. We came up with an enormous list. And then we came up with a much shorter list. There was one individual on the list, at the top of the list, and ironically, he's the same individual that we see here at this wedding in Cana, 2,000 years ago. We read both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, I can't think of a more important person to invite to a wedding than Jesus. I can't think of a more important person to invite to a marriage than Jesus. And this afternoon, just for a few brief minutes, we're going to explore why. Why it's so vital to invite Jesus to your wedding and really to your marriage. And we're going to answer that question in two parts. And the first part is this. There comes a time in every marriage when the wine runs out. There comes a time in every marriage when the wine runs out. I've been to weddings where that wasn't a big deal. I've been to weddings where they haven't served any alcohol. I just went to a wedding where the groom's father had 100 bottles of wine on the table and only 10 of them were drunk. I think for most of us this would not be a big deal. But it was a huge deal in Jesus' day. For the wine to run out, it was a scandalous thing. It was a shameful thing. It showed a sign or a lack of preparation, and perhaps even showed how poor the family was. It was a big problem, a terrible problem. And yet it's a problem that I see reoccurring time and again in many marriages. And here's what I mean. Wine, in my thinking, I think biblically, is really a metaphor for happiness. Psalm 104, verse 15 says that God gave wine to make glad the heart of man. And so, there's a sense in which wine stands for happiness. That which brings us joy. And so to run out is to, if I might say, to run out of happiness. It's a bad situation. I see it happen, though, in so many marriages. So many marriages. The husband and the wife, they stop talking to each other. They stop laughing. They stop playing. They stop talking. They grow distant emotionally, if not physically. They fight. They say things they should not say. The honeymoon ends. Sometimes it's partly due to terrible strains on the marriage. You know what they are. Hard times hit financially. Sickness sets in. Accidents occur. Work picks up. You get busy. You get tired. And then the children come. And the focus shifts. And sometimes conveniently, the wine runs out. You know what I mean? So little joy, so little happiness. And sometimes it's due to selfishness, just terrible selfishness. You want things a certain way, and if they don't go your way, there will be consequences. You say hurtful things, mean things, cruel things, unfaithfulness, infidelity. There's no thought of serving or loving. The wine runs out. Happiness wanes. I've never known a marriage where the wine didn't run out. They might exist. They probably do. Maybe there are some marriages like that this afternoon where the wine has never run out. I've just never known a couple where the wine hasn't run out, where they remain in this constant state of happiness and perpetual bliss. I'm sure they exist, but I've never met one. Ever. And nor do I know a single person, for that matter, where the wine just hasn't run out. I've never known a person that is always happy, that doesn't know anything of sadness. Like the wedding, we get panicky. People got panicky that day. We try different things. We try to solve the problems, but nothing seems to work. And the wine runs out, and it's hard to get that wine back, isn't it? It's hard to get the happiness back in our relationships and in our marriages. And you see, that is why it is so important to invite Jesus Christ to your wedding, but really to your marriage. That's part of the answer. It's only half of the answer, though. The other part why it's so important, so vital to invite Jesus to your wedding, Jeff and Jenna and you, is because only Jesus can make the wine flow. Only Jesus can make the wine flow. I wonder what they thought when the wine did run out. I wonder how the guests reacted. Did some scoot down to the local LCBO or something akin to it? Did they run home and grab some bottles from their private stock? I don't know. Mary, I think, had a good idea. What did Mary do? Mary went to Jesus. That's a good idea. She went to Jesus because she knew that he would fix the problem. After all, her son was the Son of God, and the Son of God could do anything. I mean, the Son of God made the world. The Son of God flung the stars into the sky, the sun and the moon. He made the mountains. He made the oceans. Surely, a little bit of wine wouldn't be a problem for the Son of God. Here's what Mary wants. She wants her son to fix the problem. Jesus' answer, his response is curt and it is surprising. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. He doesn't address her as mother, he addresses her as woman. That's not an endearing term, it's not a rude term in that day, but it's not an endearing term. It's a term that creates distance, and that is just the point here. Jesus is creating distance from his mother. He's stepping out now. Now is the time for his public ministry. And his mother will no longer call the shots. From now on, Jesus will do as he pleases. And what is it that Christ will do? He will go to the cross. That is the hour that He will embrace one day. He will die on that cross for sinners. And so His goal is not to fix dying parties. His goal is to fix dying people. And Mary gets the point. She tells the servants to do whatever He tells them to do. And remember that. That's significant. And Jesus tells the servants to fill up 6 huge stone pots with water to the brim, each holding 20 to 30 gallons, altogether about 150 gallons. That's a lot of water. And then Jesus tells these servants to bring it to the master of the ceremonies, the master of the wedding, and he tasted it. He is surprised, because in that day, the custom was to serve the good stuff first, and then after people had had some and their senses had grown dull and indistinguishing, then they would bring out the cheap stuff. But this was good stuff. This was excellent wine. This was the tasty stuff. He didn't know where it came from. But the servants did. They filled those pots. And miraculously, that water turned into wine. Into wine. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen in many, many marriages. Not the turning of actual wine or water into wine, but something a lot like it. Maybe even something a lot better than that. I've seen Jesus restore happiness to broken and failing relationships. I've seen Him reconcile hostile spouses. I've seen Him heal wounded hearts. I've seen Him arrange second honeymoons that never seem to end. I have seen Jesus turn the water into wine. Jeff and Jenna, that should encourage you today, and that should guide you as you enter this marriage, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to dampen your joy this afternoon. I see the wine running today. I see your happiness. But you need to know that a day will come when the trials will come your way, and they will come. You cannot see them now. They're down the street, they're around the corner, and they're waiting for you, and they will come. Terrible pressures that will threaten to cut off the wine, that will threaten to undo your happiness together. And at those times, you will need to do what Jesus says. You will need to go down on your knees together and seek God's grace for the wine that only He can provide. The kind of wine that allows you to go on experiencing enduring joy and happiness even while everything else is falling apart and failing all around you. And there will be times when you act selfishly. Can you believe that? And you will need to do what Jesus tells you to do. You will need to go to each other, and you will need to confess your sin and repent of your sin with each other. And I'll tell you something. The wine that Jesus creates in those situations is such an amazing wine that I almost want to encourage you to go out and fight just to experience the wine that comes when reconciliation takes place. Almost. Almost. But the wine that He will provide in your marriage, in your relationship, is the kind of wine that you must get. And the things that Christ tells you to do are not difficult things. They're like filling up empty water pots with water. Can you do that? Can you fill up an empty water pot with water? Can you take this word and open it and say, I will base my life on what you say, Jesus? Because if you will do that, then the wine will flow in your marriage. And your marriage will be everything that God says it can be. and it can be great. And the wine can flow even way beyond your wildest expectations. You can know a wine that tastes so awesome, brings such gladness, such joy to your marriage, and it's a joy that so few people know. Yesterday afternoon, I was in the Pittsburgh airport. I sat there for 6 hours. A storm had come in. Flights were delayed and they were canceled. I talked to a man whose mother had just died. I talked to a woman who was serving smoothies that she didn't want to serve. I talked to a musician who had missed his flight and missed his gig. And he was angry, and everybody at gate 12 knew about it. For 6 hours, I rubbed shoulders with people for whom the wine had run out. And my bet is that the wine ran out a long time before they got to the airport. In fact, my bet is that if I were to go home, or to their homes today, I would find people, even after they had got home and slept and saw their families, after they had showered and eaten a decent meal other than airport food, and the wine would still be gone. Isn't that true? See, the problem is not being holed up in an airport. The problem is living a life without the wine that Jesus Christ alone can create. The problem is living a life without the joy and the happiness which He brings. And there are so many people who spend their lives needlessly looking into empty water pots. They have no idea that the wine that Jesus can give is just an invitation away. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Maybe this afternoon you know exactly what I mean. Maybe this afternoon the wine has run out in your marriage and in your relationships, and you could use a good drink. Do you want a good drink this afternoon? You're hot, aren't you? How about a good drink? Jesus offers you this glass, a glass that can slake the thirst, not just of your mouth, which you want now, but of your soul, which your heart desires and craves. In Isaiah 55, he says, "Ho," that means listen, "everyone who thirsts, come and buy wine without money and without price. Let your soul delight in abundance." I want to tell you this afternoon how you can purchase this wine for free. Do you want to know how? Don't you want to know how? It's free because He's already bought the drink. He's already bought it. You know where He bought it? He bought it on a cross called Calvary. Because there He died for the sins of the world. There He bled, paying the punishment for our sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And friends, you and I, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the consequence, whether you want to believe it or not, is that we deserve death. Death. Everlasting separation from God, which the Bible calls hell. We all deserve it, each one of us. And there on the cross, that day, Christ absorbed the wrath of His Father. He exhausted God's fury against the sins of His people. He paid the punishment. And all He asks is for you to believe. Put your faith in Him, to trust in Him, to say, "I have sinned and I have fallen short of Your glory, Father. And I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as the one who will forgive my sins and give me that wine that my life lacks. Doesn't it? Are you tired? Are you bored? Every day I see people like that. They're tired, they're bored, and they're unhappy. And the next day I see them, they're tired, they're bored, and they're unhappy. Do you want a drink? You want a drink of wine that will slake the thirst of your soul? Christ says, you come to me today, and I'll satisfy you. I'll satisfy you. And there isn't a one of you here today that doesn't need that wine. You need it. And I need it. Jeff and Jenna, you need it in your marriage. You need it in your marriage. You need it in your life. And Christ said today, come to me and I will give you that wine. And Christ says, belly up to the bar of God's grace and you will be satisfied now and forevermore. Amen.